as it turns out, there is a limited amount of motorsport. This is a quick news update.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again to bring you more news, thankfully. It's starting to come much quicker nowadays.
Indeed.
And we've got plenty of announcements to get through. We're going to go from like least important, or least significant, should I say, to most significant.
Yeah. I upset everybody early. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yes, I have to admit, we have had some interesting bits and pieces off in the off season, off behind the camera, and I am stunned that you and your shoddy and your sort of shabby style attire was recognised before mine. We won't say any more on that for now, but just a quick one to say, you were recognised and got your brand deal quicker than I got mine with Boohoo, which is a bit which is a Boohoo moment. So. Yeah.
Oh dear. Right, we'll get straight into it then, and we're unfortunately going to talk about teams, drivers, cars that will not be on the grid for 2026. It was released earlier this week that Unlimited Motorsport would not be partaking in the 2026 season. Nothing has really been mentioned about what's going to be happening with their TBLs, just that them as a team have had sponsorship deals fall through, meaning that they're not going to be able to find it financially viable. Not that it is anyway, to be able to take to the grid in 2026.
Yeah. Thoughts? It doesn't come as any great surprise, if I'm being honest. They obviously lost Dexter Patterson to PMR. I'll be interested to see if Rocket has gone across with him, because that was the main sponsor on the car. I know there's a little bit on the...
There's a little bit on the MB Motorsport.
However, technically, I believe that is Rocket Oxygen, which is potentially a slightly different... It's still Rocket, but again, yeah, it could be a slightly different bit of sponsorship. We have had Rocket on other cars before across different teams. So, but I'd be interested to see if that goes across with Patterson. It's a disappointment. Obviously, that's now at least another car, if not two, off the grid.
Yep.
I don't think they're ever going to run two, if I'm being brutally honest, once Patterson had gone. But yeah, it's another car off the grid. It's another brand of car off the grid, because they would have probably ran the Cupras, although there are four Ford Focuses hatchbacks, which we'll get to, kicking about in the touring car graveyard at the moment. But yeah, look, it's a difficult sport. Financial times are tight for business and for people. We always say that getting on the grid is pretty much 90% of the battle. You've got to find the sponsors that are willing to shell out the money required to go racing.
Yeah, the actual racing part of it is very, very small in comparison to all the work that has to be done behind the scenes.
And unfortunately, some drivers are just either better than others at attracting deals, or just have the better contacts. It's as simple as that. And they would have been left with Hamilton and Jelly as drivers left over from last year.
Possibly, yeah.
Because Max Hall is in TCR.
Yep.
And obviously, Patterson's moved across. Jelly, I don't know, he could well end up at WSR and just disappoint you in every way possible. But I mean, I, to be honest with you, I can't see him wanting to go back there after a fairly disastrous little cameo there anyway. And then Nick Hamilton, it always depends on the funding and what he can bring to the table. And I think that's a lot harder to do if you're the sole driver of that team without any other input from other bits and pieces.
Nick had already mentioned or put out on social media that he has got his race license for 2026. So there is a slim possibility that we could still see him take to the grid. But I think that chance is quite significantly reduced now with the fact that Unlimited have had to sort of like pull the plug on the season, basically. There are still drives out there. There are still teams and cars that need to be filled, some more than others, and some we've had absolutely nothing from.
Well, motorsport, we're looking at you.
Let us know your thoughts on Unlimited not being on the grid for 2026, whether you think that we're going to see them back. They're taking possibly a year.
I'm calling it now that we're not
taking a year out, or could we still see the Cupra on the grid?
Maybe one are having the Cupra. I don't know. I don't think we'll see Unlimited back. I'm calling it early. This is similar to some other teams that have come and gone, in my view.
Yep.
I won't say any more there for the sake of lawyers. And I don't think we'll see it back. Perhaps we'll see a new team next year called
possibly
Unlimited something. something, fronted by somebody who's not somebody, who is somebody but not.
Have you covered yourself there?
I think, allegedly. I think we're okay.
Good.
Yeah, no, realistically, what is going to change next year? And this is what I don't want to say annoys me, but I just always get a little bit cynical about it, is that what is going to realistically change next year? Lloyd is different because he's taken a year out to actually focus on a new business venture. Yeah, he had the budget, but he's gone, no, I want to look at something different and secure myself for the next 10 years. That's different.
Yep.
What's going to realistically change? I know you might say regs, but I don't see how it's going to make things cheaper. No. What's going to change next year to bring them back on the grid? Nothing, in my view. So, no. Unless they get a multimillionaire driver. Perhaps Lance Stroll big comes sponsor. Across here with less vibrations in the car and he can come and do it with Big Daddy Stroll.
I'm not sure he can cut it either way.
But yeah, I mean, I don't see what changes in the space of 12 months that suddenly magically gets it back on the grid. And I'd say cut and paste one motorsport over the last couple of years that have constantly been coming back to the grid, and we are yet to see or hear anything. And if I'm being brutally honest, I would be stunned if we see him this year.
Yeah, which unfortunately may lead to a smaller grid than we expected, certainly when the TBLs were released. But we have had driver announcements, thankfully.
We have, and a car announcement as well. We'll go to the car, because cars are slightly less more interesting than people most of the time.
It's a good-looking car,
though. It's a very good-looking car. Hello, NASCAR called. They want to enter the touring car. So, yeah, this is the news that NAPA, who we have been anticipating for a while, we're going to change away from the hatchback this season.
Possibly even away from the Ford.
That's what we were led to believe originally, but they have decided to keep the Ford. Now, I need to do a little bit of admin and housekeeping before we go into this. There has been, before people start waving their arms around, there's been a slight tweak in the regulations insofar as that all the teams have unanimously voted to bring forward the allowing of teams to run cars that aren't on sale in the UK for 2026. This is originally going to come in 27 of the whole regulation change that's coming in 2027. However, that element has been brought forward, which means that NAPA are running the Focus Saloon, which is not on sale in the UK, but this is not a Honda Integra situation. This has been agreed by all teams and everybody is really happy.
Yeah, we're not sure how many votes it had to go through to get to a unanimous decision. Yes, NAPA have got their way, and I think it's a good thing for the championship. We are going to see a car that is going to be very sleek, very aerodynamic, and much like the Hyundai in a straight line, I'm expecting.
The livery as well, it looks so good. It looks brilliant. So good. It looks just like a NASCAR car. Is it NASCAR? You say NASCAR car, is it? NASCAR, because cars in NASCAR.
I don't know. The Americans are weird.
It looks just like the oval racing circle thing Americans like style, and it just looks absolutely fantastic.
They call football soccer as well, and that's just wrong.
Yeah, it as a motorcade, it looks amazing. I can't wait to see it on track for next season. Obviously, just to remind you, that is being driven by four drivers: Sutton, Camish, Osborne, and Selby, who has stepped up from the minis. But yes. It's interesting to see that we did have a couple of years ago, everybody moving to the hatchbacks, apart from a couple of teams, but most people moved across to the hatchbacks. And now we're seeing a regression back to saloons. As it stands, there's only one hatchback in the championship.
There was a very, very slight teaser, and you got your hopes up, didn't you, that you thought they might be bringing a wagon.
I thought there was an estate. Yeah, a couple of people as well seem to think that they might be running the estate. Look, Sutton has, of course, won a championship in an estate.
He's won one in everything, it feels like.
Has he won one in the saloon? No.
Yeah.
Well, the Avensis technically was a saloon, I suppose. Not Avensis, Infinity, my apologies. Yeah. But yeah, I was a little bit excited because I like to see an estate car on the grid because it's just fun and a bit silly. But yeah, they've gone for the saloon version. And I say it's interesting that the way the regulations and stuff is working, that going back to that saloon, quote, boxy style shape is better than the what is normally perceived as the lighter, sleeker hatchbacks. But yeah,
one assumption on the aerodynamics, and I'm going to get a little technical if that's okay with you, is that I'm assuming it creates a slightly smaller hole in the air because it will suck some of the air off down the bottom of the car rather than pushing it up over the top like you would with a hatchback. So I'm wondering if they're hoping it's a little less easy to follow, and therefore, if they're out front, which they're hoping to be, a lot of people won't be able to get past them because of it.
And staying technical, we saw last year that I think it's fair to say Hyundai's managed the tyre rules the best. And I think perhaps that comes down to some of the weight distribution, the difference between a hatchback and a saloon. And they may well be looking at it thinking, I think where NAPA really hurt last year is when they had to run the hard tyre. Yep. We saw Camish fall through from 3rd to 17th or so, like that. Whereas we saw Ingram take a 4th, I think, at Alton Park on the hard tyre. So I think they may have looked at that and gone, perhaps there is better merit in having a saloon style car which can have a different weight, not saying it's better, but a different weight distribution, which may be able to help negate some of those problems of the tyres.
And all being well, they've got everything bolted on with the extra wheel arches and everything.
Yes,
like that.
And number plates cannot be magically sucked into the air intake. But I've seen they've been out at Donington Park doing some testing. There's been some bits across Ash Sutton's and Napa's social medias. The car looks, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
it's I don't care who, whatever liveries are revealed, that is the livery of the season for me, and I can't see anything coming close.
Yeah, I believe they've got Shakedown Days, possibly at Snetterton coming up as well.
And of course, media day in just over a month's time.
Next piece of news then, Toyota.
Yeah, who haven't moved to the Corolla Saloon. They're sticking with the the Corolla hatchback for now. Yeah. For now, we might see something next season.
And Team Toyota with Speedworks have announced both their drivers at once. Mm-hmm. This happened yesterday. We were recording this on Saturday. And we will see Josh Cook line up alongside Max Buxton, who finished the season for Speedworks last season and didn't disgrace himself.
No, I thought he had a fairly strong debut campaign. Obviously, there was lots of problems at Toyota last year with various engine changes and driver lack changes. Of power and whatnot. And it appears that Newey looked at that engine and thought, yes, I'll have that in the back of the Aston, please. But yeah, as you say, a lot of driver changes as well. So hopefully for Buxton, he can complete a season in the touring cars and get the chance to build on what he put forward last year. And Cook is Cook. Can I say?
Oh, here we go.
I am slightly disappointed.
Soapbox out?
No. Okay. This is Russell's hot takes. You might need some yogurt. I am slightly disappointed that Cook is there insofar as I want to see him in a front-running car and see what he can do. Now, look, they might.
Can I caveat that?
Please do before I carry on.
So obviously, at the end of the season, we saw Toyota move to the M Sport engine,
and they were better.
They were definitely better. Obviously, Cook took a win right at the end, didn't he?
He did, yes.
So if he can draw on that and push forward into 2026, then he may well again finish sixth in the championship. But I haven't actually seen an announcement anywhere to say whether they're definitely going to be using the M Sport engine going forward. I think it makes sense if they do, because then they know what they're working on and they're building from a basis which they finished with last season.
I completely agree.
And we know how poor it started for them.
Yeah, I just always feel with Cookie's just a car behind. As in, everyone else is moving forward with new car. I'm not saying the Napa car will be good. We don't know. It might be terrible. This might be the worst idea Napa have ever made. But the point is that I just always feel Cookie's always getting into a machine that's just that little bit behind what's on the grid. And I think to myself, had he been able to get in at Napa or Hyundai, then I think he may have had a better chance at the title.
I think he's got to be quite strong to get through those doors.
Well, you say that obviously there's two seats at Hyundai, as we'll get to in a moment. There's also seats at WSR. Now, I know he's not driven rear wheel drive and that's always a thing, but it just seems to me he's always either in a Honda Civic or a Toyota.
Yep.
And whilst both are perfectly serviceable race cars and perfectly competitive, when's the last time either of those cars went on consistent runs of winning races have ever challenged? I think Ingram challenged once in the Toyota, which was the Ginsters year, and it fell away as the season went on. Since then, I mean, the Corolla's been in the championship for a long time, and it hasn't really set the scene alight as I thought it would when it first came in.
No.
And the Honda Civic, which he's also been in, has been in for about 55 years, and that has fallen away dramatically as well. So I'm glad he's in the seat, and I'm glad he's in a team's car and a bit of manufactured backing or whatever. That's great. And for Toyota across the board, with the four cars split across the two garages, that's a great driver lineup.
It really is.
But I'd like to see Cook in the front cars so we can really see what ability he's got, because he's no doubt a fantastic racer, but is he an elite driver or a great driver? And I don't think we've ever been able to have the chance to find out.
Well, hopefully we will this season. Hopefully he's going to bring back some of that form that he ended the season with, and we'll see him finish sixth in the championship again.
Absolutely, that's nailed on.
On to the final piece of news, at least. And that is possibly the biggest news, and the news we've all been waiting for, the final driver at Plato Racing.
Yes.
Now, there were plenty of rumours as to who this could be, who it was going to be.
I think I said the driver a long time ago.
Every single driver seemed to have a shout at being in with this seat, but it is quite a typical Plato driver.
I did panic. I had the graphic ready to go, and I panicked last minute. There might be somebody else. I had to do another, graphic just in case, but I had the graphic ready well ahead of the announcement, so I did think it was this driver.
Yeah, so Adam Morgan is going to be linking up with Dan Rowbottom once again and Jason Plato in an all-Mercedes lineup, something that we've seen both Adam and Dan run before. So I'm hoping
as teammates as well.
As teammates, yeah. So I'm hoping that's going to be bring a little bit of experience. Yes, we know it's going to be the saloon or coupe-shaped car rather than the hatchback that they had before. But it's a strong, robust lineup, I would say.
It's a very robust lineup, I agreed. It's very Jason Plato.
It is.
In terms of who are the two drivers on the grid that are the most like him, I'd say it's those. I can't really think of anybody else I'd put in that category. Maybe Sutton. But
very much of the old school.
Yes.
And drivers that won't take much nonsense. And I think the fact that they've worked together before, they will work well in tandem with each other.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Help to develop the car. Yeah, exactly.
And there seems to be, from certainly Adam's announcement video, he's very excited with the prospect that Plato Racing and the team are bringing in as a whole. He's said very clearly that he hasn't seen the in-depth analysis and development that they're doing there with any other team that he's been with. And Adam's been around. He's been at WSR. He's been at Accelerate, two top teams of the era. So if he's saying those kind of things, are we going to see Plato hit the ground running?
It makes a lot of sense insofar as there's no point sticking a rookie in there who's got to develop a car and a brand new team who's just going to get lost. You might as well go with two. You know, the experience those two have in the championship is vast. They're both multiple race winners. They're both used to running at the front as well. They're both, to a degree, developed cars with big teams, so that'd be the BMW and the Ford. They've been involved in developing cars there and bringing the cars forward.
Dare I also say, they're both two drivers that at the stage of their career that they're in almost need this point of reference to go to. Both, I would argue, both Morgan and Rowbottom in their teams were probably third choice roundabout.
Yeah, I think with Morgan and Chilton, they swapped depending on...
Exactly.
Yeah, but yes, I would agree.
But also with how strong Proctor was last season. Yeah, I think they both need to be in a team where they're felt like they can be the drivers that will take the team forward.
Building on from that, though, I think it's a real statement of how much they trust the Plato project. They've both left big teams. You know, the last...
Some bridges burnt, but
some more than others. But if they've both left manufacturer-backed teams that have both won championships in the, you know, whether that be the drivers or the team's championship or the manufacturers over the last, four or five seasons at least, they've picked up, each team has picked up at least one trophy, and they're now going into the complete unknown. I think that's testament to how much they obviously believe in the Plato project and what he's trying to build and what he's trying to put together, because that is a hell of a leap of faith to leave where you are. It's not like, with all due respect, you're leaving an Unlimited or a PMR who are doing very well in their own stakes, you know, to go here. This is it's a brave move. It makes a lot of sense. And I say the Plato, will it hit the floor? Will it not? We'll literally have to see. There's nothing so far.
I'm still excited to see the next announcement that comes from them, because we know Plato obviously said in that interview at the end of 2025 that there are two big sponsors coming to the grid to support the team that haven't been on touring cars before. Basically, we know that he's already partnering up with Snap-on Tools.
Well, we think he is.
I've seen it linked. It's already
confirmed. Oh, is it linked? Is it? Oh,
yeah. Okay. So he's already partnering up with Snap-on Tools for all the toolkits and all the garage materials, basically, to help the team achieve the top. And as we all know, as car people, Snap-on is top of the top kind of thing.
RIP Silver Line.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see who those big sponsors are. And then the final one, which I think will probably come on media day, is the livery reveal, because I think that's going to give it the biggest crescendo.
Can I just pour some slightly cold or even tepid water onto the party? I'm slightly worried that at this stage, a lot of teams are at the point where they're shaking down and they aren't. I know they've had to build a brand new car, and I know that, you know, but we've seen this week already that Napa have had to build a brand new car, four of them, and they're out testing. We've seen Speedworks out on the track testing. We've seen WSR having at least released pictures of a built car. Okay, they're not gone out as far as I'm aware, but it feels to me that they're, I don't know, intrinsically it feels that they're behind. Yeah. Other teams are out shaking down cars.
I think being a new team, they're always going to seem like they're behind. And all credit to Dan Robot on his social media being able to show the extent to where they are at the moment, and the fact that they've had the car come back from the paint shop. They're going through the fitting up process in the last week or two. Yes, I think they're always going to feel like they're a little step behind, especially at the start of the season. But once they're there at media day and they can hopefully get the running that they need and they deserve, and they don't have any technical gremlins, that's going to be crucial, then they can start to build on what they have.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But I say that's my only slight worry at this stage is that other teams seem further ahead.
I think it's the same with PMR and those Audis.
Yeah, but then with all due respect, I wouldn't necessarily expect anything less because they're trying to build three cars and haven't got the backing and the links that Jason Blato has. So, yeah.
I agree.
Right, that's the news done.
Yes, yes. Some thoughts and rumours going forward. Obviously, we've got media day in round about a month's time now from the release of this. So there are still announcements yet to be made. Obviously, we've got drivers possibly still to come at PMR. We believe we've got two seats to fill there. The possibility of One's Motorsport, whether they're going to turn up or not. Obviously, we now know Unlimited are not going to be
and
there.
I would imagine in the following week, there'll be an announcement similar cut and paste for...
Yeah.
They've made no noise that they're back. So, I just don't see it.
We have two seats, crucially, to fill at Accelerate.
Yes.
So, we've already got the two Toms back for 2026. Obviously, Morgan has now moved away to Plato Racing. Proctor was there last season. Seems to be that he does have offers on the table for a drive in 26. And it would be a real shame if he doesn't get to drive that Hyundai again. But it could be still at Restart Racing, where they also have a driver to announce.
Or WSR.
Possibly two. But we're pretty sure Smiley's there.
Or WSR, if they fancy running three cars.
Yeah. So our understanding is that WSR have got two drivers signed.
Mm-hmm.
With the possibility of a third still to come. So it looks like they are going to fill their three driver allocation, as it were, due to the TBLs that they've got. Who those drivers are going to be, we're not 100% sure. Charles Rainford is probably number one in line to be in there.
If I was a betting man, I would put that on because of where he was last year and the good job he did there.
Obviously, DeLeon had that LinkedIn post earlier this season.
Very Gen Z.
Saying he was looking for more sponsorship.
I imagine
he'll be on... He ran no sponsorship pretty much last season.
He'll be on the Jake Humphrey podcast before we know it.
but he could be another driver to fill a seat at WSR.
Yeah, it's strange that has gone quiet from having his international goals to it all going very, very quiet. I wouldn't be unsurprised if he ends up back at WSR this season in some capacity.
No, me neither.
In some capacity, whether that be in touring cars or maybe as an extra GT entry, but I would be surprised if he's away from the WSR package somewhere.
And then, of course, they had Moffitt last season, who is relatively quiet for a driver of his ilk and his standing.
He is. The rumour mill is in overdrive that he has moved to a certain team with four circles in their badge insignia and taking a load of sponsorship with him. But I cannot confirm nor deny that. That is just what the Twitter or X-sphere is
saying.
Dare
I say, I think that's the most interesting one yet to come is where Moffitt goes. Because if he stays with WSR, then I think that's those three drivers set. Mm-hmm. If he moves across, then who the hell do WSR take
to possibly fill
another one or two seats?
Well, if they do, they might just stick it at two at that point. I think what's even more interesting if that does happen is that I think that would mark four teams in four seasons for Moffitt. I might be wrong, and I might need to go back doing the maths before people shout at me. But it was the Civic.
I wonder how many cars he's driven.
It'd be the fourth in 4 years because it was the Civic. Then it was the Toyota. Then it was the BMW. Now it'll be, if he does go across,
an Audi. He's driven so many different
If he goes to Plato Racing so next year, he'll have completed the German set.
Or maybe he's going to run a Cooper on his own. Who knows?
No one's going to run a Cooper, I wouldn't have thought.
Let us know your thoughts and feelings down in the comments as to which driver is going to end up where, who's going to be where, how many teams we're going to have by the start of the season. And if there's any teams out there, I'll take a drive.
I won't.
No.
No. I'll start in minis, it's okay.
Any thoughts?
Look, I mean, I like to be a bit hyperbolic, as we know.
No.
I am genuinely worried at this stage about how much or how many people and teams are dropping out, and I'm worried about where the sport is going. I know I keep saying it, I've been saying it for the last couple of seasons. I do remember the really small grids of the early two and mid 2000s for that matter, and I don't remember it being the best quality racing. People have been saying online, our smaller grid means better racing. It does if you get 20 top drivers in it.
You've got the right drivers.
Yeah, and for the best will in the world, I don't think that is the case. I'm already thinking in my head of names that are likely to miss out this season. Mm. And I'm thinking, that's not great. And as I said about the point of unlimited motorsport earlier, I don't see how this gets better. I don't see how more money comes into the sport. I don't see how more... how it becomes easier for teams and drivers moving forward. So yeah, I'm going to end it on a downer and say that at the minute, I think that anything short of a 26 car grid is, if we could end up a situation where there's a 20 car grid, which means every driver will score points every weekend, more or less.
Yeah.
Because of the way the point system works.
Yep.
And I don't think a 20 car grid is good. I would like a 30 car grid personally. That's the glory days is a 30 car grid or near a 30. And I think my biggest worry is I just don't see how this gets better. And I don't think that there's enough thought going into this at the top level, and I don't think there's a lot of thought about what fans think going into the top level and the decisions that are being made. I don't think they're necessarily thinking of the consumer experience, and I have to say, because I've been doing this now with you for 5 years
and the rest.
And the podcast for 5 years.
Seven.
Yeah. time. Yeah, COVID has ruined my...
This is our seventh season we're
getting. Yeah, COVID's ruined my perspective of time. Yeah. In these 7 years, I would say I've enjoyed it less and less as we've gone on, just because it's become fairly obvious early on what the story of the season is going to be. And it, last season... the highlight, which is quite a perverse thing to say, it was the factory that burnt down for PMR, because it created an actual story that made interest with how they would get the cars rebuilt and then what the plight they went through and what they achieved. The title was pretty much decided by halfway. If it wasn't decided who it was going to, you knew of which two drivers it was going to, and the chasm at the top was unbelievable. Whereas you go back not too long ago and you go into six or seven were in contention going to Brands Hatch. And we've had that for the last couple of seasons where the title's been decided way before the final round. And that includes the year when Napa dominated as well. And that wasn't, it was good for them, but not good for the sport.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just not seeing where this goes and where this gets better at the minute.
Regulation change may well bring change, not necessarily for the good.
CF1 for details.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see how the season develops. We'll see how Media Day turns out.
So stay positive, people. There's lots to play for.
I'm going to try and bring this back up now, haven't I? Let us know your thoughts and feelings down in the comments, whether you agree with Russ
call me out.
Or completely disagree.
Yeah, show me why I'm wrong. Respectfully, but show me why I'm wrong.
We love to see and read all of your comments across all of our social media platforms.
We try and respond, but the last few posts have gone nuclear.
We thank you for.
Oh, absolutely. But so if you haven't had a response, we are sorry. We were at work jobs, etc. And the last few have been, crazy, which has been great for us.
Yeah. And if you haven't already, do go and subscribe down below. Make sure you like and follow all of our content. We appreciate it and it helps us out a lot. Even if it's just mentally.
Absolutely.
But until next time.
Keeps me happy.
Yeah. Until next time, we'll see you soon.
Cheerio.